we just fucking go right into it with when Huey Max in the studio. We just get to talking.
Yeah, well, we've talked for like an hour before, so that was nice.
Yeah, we've had a little coffee date.
Not to change subjects, because it's kind of on the weird things that have happened to you topic. You ever talked about the time that your car was stolen by hookers and prostitutes? Because I think that is the funniest fucking story I've ever heard. I know you lost a whole car out of it, but when you told me that story, I was like, dude, damn, I feel bad for him, but this is fucking hilarious.
No, it's pretty wild, man. I don't know that I have told this story on the podcast, so it's a good one, man. Dude, yeah, it's fucked up, bro. This story is fucked up.
It's so funny. Oh, it's not fucked up. It's funny.
It's hilarious.
It's hilarious. Fucking hilarious.
But like, okay, so this is the story. So I was going to get coffee, okay,
mm-hmm.
And I come back and I park the car in my driveway, and I ran upstairs and I left the keys in the car. So first off, it was my fault. But I realized 20 minutes later that I left the keys in my car. And so I ran down there and the car was gone. And I'm just like, what?
Dude, where's my car?
literally a dude, where's my car situation. But that feeling of just like, I was in denial. I was like, there's no way that somebody just stole my car. Like, it was here for 20 minutes. Like, you know, I live in a neighborhood. Like, who stole my car?
Which one to use?
It was crazy. And so I call the cops. They took like an hour to come. And then they get here. They're like, okay, yeah, like, you know, we'll put it in the system. Meanwhile, I'm checking my phone. Oh, you know what? Actually, sorry. Here's what. The reason I went downstairs to look and see if my car was there was because I got an alert on my phone that someone tried to spend $100 at Target with my card. And I was like, what? Like, and I thought to myself, oh shit, I must have left my wallet in my car. Maybe someone stole my wallet. So I go down and my whole car was gone. And I was like, oh my God, bro.
Mm-hmm.
And again, like, it's my bad for keeping this shit, the keys in the car, the wallet in the car. It was a mistake, but I didn't expect that to happen. And so I call the cops. They don't really care. They put my license plate in the system. That was about it. And I don't hear anything for like 10 days. Then one night I get a call from like a blocked number. Hey, this is Detective So-and-so. We just got your car back tonight. We need you to come down to the impound lot tomorrow and pick it up. We just recovered it in a pursuit. And I was like, well, is the car okay? And they said, yeah, no, it's fine. Just make sure you get it tomorrow before the police impound like takes it further. And I was like, okay, I'll be there tomorrow. So I get a ride down there the next morning. And this is during COVID times, mm-hmm. and like peak COVID times where people aren't really going anywhere. And so I go to the tow lot, and the car is just totaled, bro. Completely fucking smashed. The police rammed the fucking car in a hot pursuit. And so I'm like, I can't.
That's not even the funniest part to me.
No. And so, because I don't know anything else at this point yet. So I just see the outside of the car and it's fucking totaled. I'm like, what the fuck, man? Like, how could this get worse? So then I open the door and fucking trash just is falling out of the car, bro. And like drug paraphernalia and like prostitution paraphernalia,
used rubbers,
like condoms, tampons, like the craziest shit.
When you told me about it, I just, you remember, what the fuck movie is that?
Baby wipes.
What's that? Dirty Mike and the Boys. What's that for the other guys?
Yeah.
I just thought of Dirty Mike and the Boys. Dude, but that's like the thing about LA that I hate. Like, have I ever told you about when I got mugged? I don't think I ever told anybody. Oh, publicly.
Yeah, what happened with that?
Dude, so I work on this fucking album for like 2 years, the last one I came out with. And I go golfing with a couple buddies. This was right before the pandemic, like November 2019 or whatever. And I get all the final masters back. And I'm golfing, so we're like drinking a little bit. And I get home. And it's probably like, it's probably like 8:39. It's not really late. And I'm like, yeah, I want to listen to these, but I want another beer. You know, just enjoy this. Like, I worked really hard on this shit, and I want to, you know.
You're celebrating a little.
Yeah, celebrating a little in my head. So I get home from golf, and I'm like, I'm go to the market and get some tall boys. So I walk to the market, get two tall boys, got my Beats by Dre headphones in, listening, you know, front to back for the first time. I turn on my street. This dude pops out from behind a bush, probably further than this room apart. And he's got a mask on, and this is before COVID. And I'm like, I just know.
Was it an N95?
No, it was not. It was not. He got his hoodie up and a mask, and this was like right before COVID, so you could spot that it was. Like, I was like, yeah, I know something's about to go down, so I like took one ear off, and he pulled out a gun, put it in my face.
He pulled out a gun.
Oh, wow. Yeah, he put a gun up to me. Meanwhile, like, I didn't have time to turn off the music, so I'm hearing my album. I swear to God, this is the funniest part. And so he's like, all right, give me everything. And I'm like, ah, shit. And I tell myself, like, I don't know if I'm lying, but, like, I was very calm and, like, cool. Like, you just kind of want to get it over with. And you're like, all right, man, here you go. And he's like, you got anything else? And I'm like, no. And he runs off. He took my beers, by the way, which I was pretty upset about. And as he's running away, I can just hear the album still playing because he's got the headphones in his hand and my phone. And I'm just like, ah. And he gets in a getaway car and I can just hear the album. And I just remember it was just such a, like, what the fuck moment.
That's like that. That's like a ending of a Larry David show.
Like, I know the exact part of the song
and what song
it was that I could hear this man running.
So
he got
the first copy.
Yeah, well, they turned off my phone and shit.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. They're probably like, what the fuck is this shit?
Man.
No, yeah. Another thing, cops came by and they just showed me a picture of a bunch of people and they're like, was it this guy? And I was like, he's wearing a mask and a hoodie. Like, I'm not going to pick any of these people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does it bother you that, you live inside the city and you pay all this rent and then that happens to you, like right by where you live? Or is it something you just accept?
It's not anything that anybody can control.
Yeah.
Like, it don't matter how good police are. You know, if somebody wants to go do that shit, they're going to do it.
Yeah.
And, like, I probably shouldn't have been walking with big Beats by Dre headphones on in the middle of the night anyways. So I learned my lesson on that front.
Right.
Now I wear AirPods and put a toboggan over them so you can't see. So now I'm less aware.
Did you go and get more beers after that?
So my best friend Noah, you know Noah?
Yep.
Him and his girl happened to live a block away from me.
Uh-huh.
So I got mugged. And their apartment was in between my place. And I fucking knocked on the door. And I was like, I just got mugged. And I walked in and we called the cops, canceled all my cards right there on the spot. And I just had a beer while waiting on the cops. And then the cops came to take my statement. And he's like, you should probably put that beer down. I was like, I just really need this beer right now. I just had a fucking gun in my face, bro.
Like, come on, man. Are you really telling me that right now?
Yeah, I remember they tried to use all my cards, and it's like, you didn't think the first thing I was going to do was cancel it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that was what was so funny with me, was like, you know, she tried to charge like $100 at Target, you know?
And mine was like, Blaze Pizza was the place they
first tried. Right, it's like, you're going through all that just to grab $100 worth of supplies at Target?
Yeah. You know? But also, I mean, I don't know. These people are clearly, the ones who got me were good at it. Like, they'd
been. It was like an organized thing.
Oh, yeah. Like,
yeah, mine was a crime of opportunity.
They cased me, and then, like, they had a car waiting for the guy to get in.
You think they saw you walk into the liquor store, like, to start?
I think they saw my route, and then they were waiting on me.
Yeah.
I had headphones on. I was clearly just not being aware. But a lot of these people are desperate.
Right.
So, like, that $100 Target thing that they went through all that trouble for.
Right.
Probably, you know, worth more to them than that. I don't know why you got to stick somebody up for some Blaze fucking pizza, but
yeah, that's crazy, man. What did it feel like to have a gun? Was that the first time and only time you've had a gun pulled on you?
It's not the first time, but it is the first time serious. I didn't get I hung out with
How is a gun getting pulled on you not serious?
I used to hang out with some people.
Yeah.
Who, you know, I got
guns and stuff. Yeah.
I got some friends who do some dirt. Right. Or I used to. You know what I mean? And like they brought it out jokingly.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's different.
Like I got hood friends. Like that's what I mean. Like,
no, I feel you. But that's completely different than like being in the proximity of
scared.
A gun.
I wasn't scared.
Right.
But
right.
like even growing up, like I had a lot of you know, hood friends, and like I saw guns a lot, like playing ball at the park and stuff. But like, it's just such a violating thing when somebody fucking puts a gun in your face. Because like,
did he actually like?
It was like
put it in your face.
It was like probably exactly like that.
Man.
Yeah. And it's not like a. I think they're going to shoot me thing, because I didn't think that guy was going to mug.
Yeah, why do they want to shoot you?
I honestly don't even think that there was a bullet in it.
Probably not.
Because that's a whole different charge.
Right.
But, like, you can't do anything, because if you're wrong.
Right.
And, like, dude, this guy was, like, up to my nipple tall. Like, he was short.
Mm.
That's the fucked up thing. Like, I could have, I'm not, like, a too masculine dude, but I could have pummeled him. But it's just like.
Did any part of you think to charge the situation? Oh, or no. Nah. You were just. Okay. No, I don't want any trouble.
One quick move and it's like.
Yeah. Poof. Yeah. Yeah.
There's like no power in that situation.
It's like those TikToks with the fucking Detroit safety guy. You know what I'm talking about?
I did have somebody tell me they're like, well, that's why I carry a gun on my ankle. I was like, bro.
But what are you going to do?
Are you going to bend over while there's a gun? Like, no, you're fucking not.
You know, it's such a funny one, man, because I understand why someone would want to have a gun for self-defense. I don't want to stop somebody from being able to have a gun for self-defense. But realistically, 9 times out of 10, if someone's pulling a gun on you and you have a gun too, it's more likely to escalate than if they're just pulling a gun and you just cooperate.
That's true, but I do believe, like, if I have a family and kids and a wife, like, I'm going to have a gun in my house.
But I feel like you have to do it in a way where it's like, okay, let's say you have a house and you hear somebody, okay? Mm-hmm. You have to conceal the gun, right?
Not if it's in your home.
No, I'm not saying that you legally have to. I'm saying, in my opinion, the strategic right move to do is to keep the gun concealed, because if someone with a gun sees you with a gun, they're gonna shoot you, right?
Yeah.
But have it on you, see what's going on, and then if you see the person with a gun and they're not aware, then you have the gun and you're good. And so I could see where it could be a good self-defense mechanism in that situation. But if you, I don't know, man, it's tough. It is tough. I'm just talking when you think of like the statistics and the likelihood, probability of what's going to go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, but at the same time, something could go wrong anyways.
Yeah. No, 100%. 100%.
Yeah, it's fucked up.
I think that there's nothing that should stop someone from, like, you know, I think you need to get like a background check and whatever, but nothing should stop somebody from being able to have a gun in their house to protect themselves if that's what they want to do.
Yeah.
I'm just saying personally, I go back and forth on whether or not that would actually be more likely to protect me or be more likely to hurt me.
You know, the thing about all these things like gun rights and all this shit and how it's, I don't even know where I land on any of it.
Yeah.
I don't think people need M16s, but I understand why people think it's their right, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not a gun guy. Like, I don't have one. I don't want one. I guess, like, growing up where I grew up, like, I know so many people who just, that's what they know and they think. And, like,
well, it's a cultural thing, right? Like, people like guns in certain parts
of
America.
Yeah, like, I mean, a lot of, I've shot guns in my life, and I think it's a fucking blast.
Me too,
blast.
It's fun.
I don't really know where I land on all that stuff. It definitely need to be, you know, safer.
I kind of think that it's like, it's kind of like COVID right now, where it's like COVID has gotten too far, and these regulations are not doing anything. So just let it go. And the gun thing, you know, I hate to say this, the gun thing kind of the same thing. There's like 400 million guns in this country.
You're not going to get them back.
If
somebody wants to kill somebody, bro, you're going to find a way.
Well, and at this point, it's like so many people have guns that I almost feel more comfortable thinking that like someone else has a gun and is going to kill the person who comes up with a gun.
Yeah,
it's sad that we're there, but we are.
I was listening to some celebrity talk or something. It might have been a president or something. I can't remember. They didn't have security. And somebody was like, why don't you ever have security? It was like, if somebody wants to walk up to me and shoot me, like, they're going to do it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Whether I have security or not. Like,
right. Yeah. No, it's true. I mean, certain things aren't avoidable, but you can take measures.
Yes, there should be better measures. But, you know. Yeah. As far as COVID, I had it twice, and, you know, I didn't really get sick either time.
Right.
But that's just luck. I don't know how much longer we can do that. I don't think we can.
And this comes from someone who was very, very serious about it, as you know, like very, you know, I did my part, stayed in the house, whatever. I've had 3 doses of the vaccine, you know.
You got the booster. I haven't got the
booster. Yeah, I got the booster, but I've never been infected, you know, so I felt like that was a good thing for me to do. But it's clear now, I mean, the CDC even said it, that the most protection that you can have is what you have, which is vaccine and getting it.
Yeah.
And you got it twice.
Yeah.
And have 2 vaccines. COVID is never going to hurt you to any serious degree. Your body already knows how to fight it.
Yeah. I never lost smell, never lost taste.
Right.
The worst I had was a bad cough the first time I got it.
The reason that COVID is so dangerous is because it's so novel and foreign to people.
Yep.
And so now that you've dealt with it, your body remembers it and knows how to fight it. You know, it's the first time you come across it that can overwhelm our body, and then our body starts fighting ourselves, and that's when we get these problems. And when you're really unhealthy and you have comorbidities, it just, you know, magnifies the problem.
I could be wrong here, but the only people who are getting sick are unvaccinated, right?
The only people that are getting really sick, for the most part, are unvaccinated
At this point, just let it.
Yeah.
What are you going to...
Right.
If somebody don't want to get vaccinated, that's their choice.
I agree. And I don't think that we should like make people get the vaccine at this point either, because it doesn't necessarily protect you from getting it. It just makes you not as sick. So
yeah,
it's just personal choice. I chose to get 3 doses of the vaccine because I'm weighing out the positive benefits and saying, I want to protect myself from when I come into contact with this shit. If you aren't choosing to do so, that's your stupid opinion, and I don't care.
You know, all I know is that I hate people who lean too far either way.
Yeah, facts. Well
about
said.
Anything.
And that's what's so fucked up about
I
where
hate
we are, dude.
Everybody.
Why can't we just talk about shit? You know, like, why can't we just talk about guns and talk about COVID and talk about this shit without being like, oh, I'm on this side.
Yeah, I'm not on this. I'm on the side of like just fucking leave me be.
Yeah.
I'm going to do what they tell me and I'm going to chill out and I'm not
right.
going to be an asshole about anything. And that's right. kind of just where I am with everything.
I'm on the side of shit that just sounds right to
it's
me.
It's even like politics, right? God, I'm not a political person at all.
No, say this it. Dude, who cares?
No, like when the Donald Trump thing came, I hated Trump. I'm a Democrat always. I always have been, at least. But, like, I fucking hated all these left... We're left-wing, right? Yeah. So, liberal... Aaron... They would be like, fuck Donald Trump. That mean, hateful, little dick, fat... orange. And it's like,
right.
you just contradict
right.
everything you fucking say.
Right. Aren't you supposed to be woke and respectful, yet you're saying like horrible things
yeah,
about this person?
I just don't understand yeah. it at all.
No, that's true. And you know, it is kind of fuck Donald Trump. He's an idiot. But
no, I completely get that.
Right.
But
people who are saying these certain things
yeah.
about how society should be, but then on the other hand, making comments like that, it's like, well, all right, so you're just a hypocrite.
Also, like in real life, I know so many people who tweet obnoxious shit that don't talk like that in real life, and I like them as people. I think the internet just makes people
yeah I think
create
I think you just have like a confidence behind the keyboard that you don't have in real life.
Because I got kids I grew up with that were big Trump guys, just because, right. And the sad thing is, like, I understand it because, like, I know those. Like, I know right. coal in West Virginia is the biggest, you know, job.
Right.
And like, Democrats want to take it away. So obviously, right. these people, it's all they know.
Yeah.
It's their way of life.
Yeah.
But like, I'll see some of them just like post the most obnoxious like Trump things, and I'm just like. Just like, why do you have to tweet about it all the time? Like, I don't care what you do.
Well, and how many of the tweets are actually like real people too, right? You know, and it might be real people, but it's like, well, why do you think these things? Are you just being manipulated by the algorithms that are showing you worse and worse, progressively like worse and worse things that are just leading you down this rabbit hole of ideology?
I just think, well, one, it's outrage porn.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, both sides are getting pulled farther to the extreme.
Yeah.
If you're super conservative, you're getting pulled down these, like, conspiracy rabbit holes. If you're super liberal, you're getting pulled down these, like, woke rabbit holes.
But the more...
But the truth is the truth.
The
it's
more
not
extreme,
these crazy things.
The more extreme people get, I think the more attention they get, and that's what's making yeah. people do this.
The social media platforms, they are incentivizing extreme behavior.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like, if we... want it, it's not just with politics. Like, if we wanted to like really get a lot more views on our next single, if we fucking did some crazy shit, dyed our fucking hair rainbow, had a bunch of fucking, you know, crazy like girls in bikinis like dancing around doing all this stuff, like this flamboyant.
I just want to note that I've done most of the things that you just said. I've dyed my hair. I have scantily clad females in music videos.
Scantily clad. I've done that too, but
that, what does scantily clad even mean?
That's a good question, man.
what does scantily mean? What does clad mean? I don't know what either of those words
mean. I think scantily clad means provocatively dressed.
I was thinking it meant what's the word I'm looking for? Not very dressed.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Like, yeah, it's like, you know, you're
like, I feel like scantily is like bare minimum.
You're barely clad. I'm yeah. assuming clad yeah. means dressed.
It has to be, right?
Let's look it up.
I bet it's absolutely not at all what we think it is. How did we get here? How did we get into politics? I don't ever talk about politics.
Because I just led you down this rabbit hole. All right. English word scantily clad comes from the English scantily, in a scanty manner, not fully... not plentifully, sparingly.
So not fully. Yeah,
so fair. What does clad barely. Mean?
It's got to mean dressed. That's the only...
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Huh.
Past participle of clothe.
Wait, what?
So it means clothed.
All right.
Clad means clothed. Like, you are clad in that West Oak hat right now.
Thank you. Shout out West Coast. Shout out my boy Dylan West.
Shout out.
Shout out my boy. All right, I don't want to talk politics anymore because that shit sucks. And
no, it's fine. We don't have to talk about it. But the point is true, though, that, you know, can we just have conversations? Like you said, I'm a Democrat. I feel like I'm a liberal person. I have, like, liberal feelings. But you're also willing to have a conversation about guns and say, yeah, I feel like if I had a house, I might want a gun to protect my family. What's wrong with that? What's wrong yeah. with just talking?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
You know?
And, yeah, I don't know. It's just like, I get, maybe just because I've traveled so much in my life and, like, I've seen so many different people and, you know, we got exposed really young to seeing a lot of, I've seen everybody's point of view.
Yep.
And not, most people aren't assholes about it and, like, I understand most people's logic.
Right. Right. Which, I do think that when you tour the country like we have and you see all the different states and how people make a living in these mm-hmm. different states, you understand why they feel the way they do. If you're living on a farm in middle America, what you care about are the policies that are going to affect you.
Yeah.
And if you live in New York City and you've never been to any of those places.
Your ability to eat, too, is like
right.
a big political thing. Like
right.
A lot of people aren't like... I know people who are Republicans because they believe, you know, that they're like, Democrats are going to take their fucking industries away, yeah, or like whatever it is. And like, I understand that, and they could hate Trump, but they're still going to vote Republican.
Right.
That kind of thing. And it's tough for me to hate anybody unless they're an asshole about it, I guess.
Well, so this is a good transition, because I feel like there's been a spiritual awakening of Huey Mack.
You do?
Yeah. I just feel like you're a very mindful guy, a very open guy. You don't hate anybody. Like, and this makes sense with what you're saying. Like, you understand, even when people are in the wrong, maybe why they feel like that, and you're compassionate to it. Mm-hmm. So have you always been like that, or is that something that came from something?
I mean, you've known me a long time. How long? What do you think? Do you think I'm different?
No, I don't think you're different. I think you've always been this really genuine, like, good guy. Like, you're a sweet guy. But I think you and I have mutually had this experience, because we're both pretty much the same age and both started getting a following young.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first iterations of that are just excitement and partying and, you know,
yeah,
feeling a little cocky.
I feel like my own person for the first time in my life. And like these past 2 years, like, I feel like I've gotten so much older, and not in like I still look 12 when I shave my beard, but
yeah, you and me both.
But I do just my way of life is different. Like, and to go back to your mindful thing, like, I do think I'm more mindful, but I think I make an effort to do that. And I also, like, I am an asshole too. Like, not to everybody, but like,
but you say that. I feel like you say that, but I don't think you've ever been an asshole. Like, who are you an asshole to?
No, like, I'm the guy who will, and this is, my friends will tell me, like, I will tell you straight something you don't want to hear that might not have needed to be said like that. Hmm. You know what I mean? Even if, like, it hurts you a little. Like, I got into an argument with one of my friends recently at a bar, and I just told him something that I was feeling that he didn't want to hear, and he left. And my other friend was like, "You're such an asshole, but you're always honest." And he's like, it wasn't wrong what you said, but, like, did it need to happen like that?
Yeah.
And, like, I can be like I can be a hothead like that. And I know that sometimes I can do that. But, like, I do try, like, I do all the things. Like, I journal every day, and, like, I wake up and I have a rule where I read for 30 minutes to an hour. Half of those are, like, fun memoirs, and then I'll do, like, a one memoir, one self-help bullshit book. Also, like, by
15
the way,
and 15.
But, like, I'm also the guy who, like, I meditate every morning, but I fucking hate meditating,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not a spiritual dude in the sense, like, I think the fucking spiritual laws of success is a bunch of fucking gibberish, like, base gibberish. Like, I love that it helps. Like, I'm reading, I just finished that fucking Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck.
Mm.
I hated every fucking second of reading it, because I think it's, like, pretentious bullshit. But with that being said, I understand that it helps a certain type of person who
People are just trying to sell books, you know? They're saying the same things over and over again, just trying to sell fucking books.
But, like, I think it comes with, to get back to where we were, because I think I just rambled. Hold on, I got paused. I got to rethink what I was saying. To get back to that, oh, yeah, I feel like in the past 2 years, I've just made such an effort to become more of an adult, and just, I feel like that comes with age. Like, the people I looked up to when I was trying to be a big-time successful rapper were dudes who talked about fucking bitches and getting money, and, like, that's what I chased. And I don't think those things, well, getting money, like, you know, everybody loves that, but, like, all the other shit, the vanity shit, I, like, don't desire that. I don't need that in my life. I don't look up to people. If I see you acting like an asshole now, I'm like, yeah, that person fucking saying they fuck all these bitches because they don't, or they're insecure, or they need people to think they're cool. And, like,
I think my views on that have like drastically changed. And even like, I hate my old music, a lot of it, because I used to be that guy. Like, we made a joke because I got a song coming out with a I'm not going to say who it is, but they have 16 Grammy nominations. And I was like, yeah, here's a song with a guy with 16 Grammy nominations and a guy who made a bunch of songs about his dick.
Oh, man. I think that might have to be the title of this podcast.
Yeah, there's a guy with 16 Grammy nominations and there's a guy who made Fuck Me Baby.
Yeah, but you know, like, I get it. I hear what you're saying, but it, you know, it feels like sometimes you're being too harsh on yourself.
No, I am harsh. Like, I'm pretty done talking about this openly, but like the weight loss. I had a girlfriend who, like, all right, to preface that, like, I had to lose the weight. Like, it was in my head. Like, but I wasn't doing it. So in order to do it back then, I had to completely cut off everything. Like, I weighed food. I didn't drink for 3 months because I had to do that. And like, my friends and my girlfriend at the time were like, you're not fun when you don't drink. Like, or not when you don't drink, like, you're just fucking, it, like, you don't have to do it like this. But like, my fucked up point of view at the time was like, no, I have to do this or else I am not going to succeed.
All encompassing.
It has to, because like, I have to get skinny. I have to get in shape. So I'm going to, but like, I can be like that. And I've gotten way easier on myself in the past. Like, even when it comes to that, like, I don't have to diet heavy anymore. Like, you just, I can drink when I want. I can eat what I want.
Moderation.
I know when to cut back. I don't have to do those things. And like, for so long, I was so hard on myself on every aspect of that. It was even like, I guess I spent so many years being labeled as the douchebag or the dickhead that I started to believe it so much that like, I can be like, okay, now I can look at every moment of me being an asshole and like, that's my personality to me because I was labeled it so much, which I know isn't completely true.
I think it's just the difference in the time period of these different kind of moments in time for music.
Yeah, for sure.
And when we came out in like the frat rap moment in time, the aesthetic of that movement was fratty, douchey, party,
oh yeah,
girls, this, that. And we leaned into it because it was successful.
Well, also, it was in a lot of ways my life at the time. And
there's nothing wrong with that, though, when you're 22 years old, finding yourself. You know, you're just a young kid. The only difference was you were doing it in front of people.
Oh, yeah. Like, dude, I would read articles about me from, like, Complex or, like, the New York Times. And, like, I'm, like, 23. And I remember, like, this Complex article that was, like, he's the guy who walks into a party and says, where's the pussy at?
Right.
And, like, that was, like, the perception I gave off of me. And, like, I'm so the I think I've always kind of been the opposite of that. But, like, I guess it just kind of mentally fucked me up really bad back then. Like, how people's perception, which it shouldn't. And if you're any, Lil Aaron had this nice tweet that's like, you know, this hate culture, like telling people's perception. But he's like, hey, I'm proud of you if you're able to put yourself out there, just like to all artists.
Period, dude.
And like, that's what it is.
So true.
If you, like, I can't control anybody's perception of me, I can control my actions. But like, you know, some kid could tweet me and say I'm an asshole or something. Like, I can't control that.
Yeah, I completely agree with that, dude, because you're either a part of the conversation, like actively participating, right? Or you're just consuming. And anybody that's willing to participate in any way, I have respect for, even if I disagree with them. You know what I'm saying? Hold on, I'm going to move this camera a little bit so that it doesn't get your head in it. Well, that's interesting what you said about how it actually affected you pretty hard. Hearing how people perceived you in this kind of like era of music that we both came up in. Did you know that it was hitting you hard when it was happening, or did you?
No, I genuinely like, it wasn't into like, bro, think about our lives back then. Right. Or like, I was touring 4 months of the year. I didn't like I had an apartment in New York City, but I was out here half the time. Mm-hmm. I was travel, like I didn't have time to stop and think, mm-hmm. right? But then when I was like, all right, I'm not gonna tour until I get this whatever next I'm doing. I've kind of built like a life out here that I like. It wasn't until I had to sit and see that more that it started to affect me. Or like I was seeing a girl and like people were like, oh, you're seeing Huey Mack. Like I met him one time and he was a douchebag like years ago.
Right.
And there was probably like a year or two back in the early days when I was kind of high. And like once you kind of see the or hear the negative things a little more, you're like, wow, maybe I was a little wrong in some of my or misguided, which I absolutely believe. And like I definitely think I tune it up to a massive degree in my head. But like when I sat with other people's opinions for years instead of just being like so active that it didn't. Also, like people were making signs saying like, Huey Mack, we love you. And like people were coming to my show. So I didn't care. But when you just sit there and like you see it, it just it's. Yeah, I think it affected me for years there.
I mean, it's a lot to process in your brain when you're a young kid and you are actually faced with a lot of success and interest from people, fans coming to shows, telling you how great you are, right? And then on the other side, people hating on you, making fun of you because you're a white rapper or this and that. And it's a lot to maneuver through, you know?
It's very weird. But, I mean, there's this thing. I've heard it a couple different iterations of it, but it's like, when that happens to you, everything that you know is out the window. And, like, the way you're taught to speak to people, the way people speak to you, it's different. Right. And it's true because people come to you with their hand out or like so I at the height of it, I was still at West Virginia.
Right.
And I was basically like Post Malone there.
You were just the fucking guy on campus.
But I was either hated or loved.
Right.
Like I'm talking like my best friend was a quarterback. Like I remember one time we're walking across the street and somebody's like, Clint Trickett, we love you. Huey Mack, you fucking suck.
Right.
Like that kind of shit. Or like if somebody came up to me at a bar, I didn't know if they were going to sucker punch me or if they were going to ask me for a photo. And like, or like I wouldn't go to the gym because people would tweet about it. Like kind of thing. And like, it's not natural and it's not fun. And I think it just it negatively affected me for years after. Because now I have such a normal life. And like we live in LA where I'm not shit. And like, it's just, I couldn't imagine being at a level of, like, a Post Malone where, like, you can't ever escape that.
Right, right. Yeah, because we saw it on this micro scale in that moment when...
And even here, like, if people recognize me, they're nice.
Right.
They come up and they, like, you know, like, this is probably the most Huey Mack story of all time. I was getting a can of dip. This is the funniest story. This happened recently. I was at the Grove. You know the Grove, right?
Yeah. Two things that are just Huey Mack written all over them, right?
I've recently quit. So, yeah. But I'm buying a can at this little bodega or whatever it is. And I was like, yeah, can I get a can of Kodiak? Because that's all they had. And the guy puts it on. He's like, who gets Kodiak? And he just looks up and he goes, oh, Huey Mack. That makes sense. And I was fucking geeking. I was like, that was the funniest interaction I've ever had with him.
That's unbelievable.
He was like, who would buy a can of dip in LA? And he just looks up and he's like, oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Huey Mack. Huey Mack would do that.
I was cracking the fuck up.
That's fucking funny, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's you know, it's all a part of this, you know, experience, man.
Yeah.
But I do notice a... willingness and an eagerness for you to like put in the work to find out what's important to you, find out, you know, like, you know, I've seen that interest from you and it's really, I mean, it's cool to see first and foremost.
Thank you.
You know, but I just like, you know, feel like that had to have always been your vibe, you know?
It always was. It's like I tried to be other people for so long that like I don't think whatever I am now was able to peek through as much, you know?
But if someone was like, oh, I met Huey Mack at a bar in fucking 2012 and he was an asshole. It's like, what it's were so, you? Or what were you just fucking having a beer and like ran into this dude at a bar and were just, you know, being funny and like fucked up? Because you have a interesting sense of humor too, I feel
I
like.
Do. I get told.
I think I'm, you think it's funny to pretend to be an asshole, I feel like.
Sometimes, yeah. I like to fuck with people.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot. But like in a good-hearted way. But like... Yeah. My humor is a little dry, so I come off mean or whatever, but like right. I'm never like intending to be mean.
Yeah.
But no, do you know Neek?
I don't know.
Oh, all right, never mind. Yeah, no, I don't, and I don't think like dog, I probably saw 10 tweets saying I was an asshole in the last and 10 years.
Yeah,
and
right.
It's like that's all I think about. Yeah, I'm an asshole to somebody, you know what I mean? probably 10 people had that
look,
opinion.
The misconception of tweets happens, man. It's like when I tweeted that my mixtape was going to be called The Freshman 15.
Oh my God, our beef.
And you had a mixtape called The Freshman 15 that I didn't know.
I remember, but I'm also very confrontational too. Right. Or not confrontational.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that.
If I feel disrespected, like my buddy Bill, we were at a party with a bunch of like Berkeley grads, my engineer Bill, and we do everything together. And he was like, dude, it's so fucking funny watching you talk to these kids. And I was like, why? He's like, because they're all like bragging about shit and you're just like not having it.
Right, right.
Like, I can just, if I feel like kind of like, shut the fuck up, like, I'm just going to be like,
Yeah, but that's a good quality, though.
Yeah, it can be. It can, but I can see the other side of it, too.
Yeah, I don't know. If I'm, if I have to choose between a group full of fucking graduate kids talking about whatever the fuck they're talking about and Huey Mack, I'm choosing the Huey Mack room.
Well, it wasn't even like that, because, like, it's just like, there's something to me about pretentious people or like situations where I feel like somebody not talking down or like whatever. I'm just like, yeah, I don't give a fuck.
Well, that's
bro.
What I'm saying. Like, I feel like that's your energy is just that you're just like, you know, it's all like calm down, like humble yourself a little bit.
Yeah. I can be like that.
Yeah.
But yeah. With that being said, to segue, like I haven't put out music in the last year, and that was a personal choice. One, I'm getting you kind of know some of the things that are going on, but the other was just like I wanted to live and I wanted to not be in the rat race. And out of it, I think I have like people have heard some of the songs and they're like, I can't even believe this is you, like the lyrics and stuff. It's just such a different person.
Mm.
And like a lot for a long time, and I mean, fuck it, I'll say it. I've been considering going by my real name, which is not Huey Mack, because right. It doesn't. Some of the songs still feel like it, and it's the same artist clearly, but like it's such a vast like shift from what I was or like what I was saying that even like I'm a little like, will this work as Huey Mack? And it's been like a thing that's been driving me for the whole year.
I feel like it's whatever you want it to be. It could work as Huey Mack. Oh, no, it could work as the other one. But
there's no right or wrong right. thing. It's all about what I want to do, and it's one of those things that within the next couple of weeks I'm going to decide.
Hmm. Well, I appreciate the teaser.
I can't even believe I just said that. I haven't said that at all in a year and a half. That, like, the first person who pitched it to me, I was like, Mike just did. Like, I don't want to do that.
Right.
And then, like, I just, like, started romanticizing it so yeah. much. I was like, but then people won't call me Huey. Well, then I won't have two names. Like, I'll just actually go by my, like, another funny thing is, like, dude, sometimes I'll introduce myself as Joey to people, and they'll be like, the fuck are you talking about?
Joey?
Yeah. I'll be like, you think a fucking white kid from West Virginia was named Huey? Like, what?
Oh, man. Huey. Yeah, I, you know, I don't think that I knew your name was Joey until we went on tour.
Yeah. It's like, I've seen so many people just be like, what?
Yeah.
I'll be like, but sometimes, like, I saw a girl recognize me at a bar, recently, like you see it in their eyes before yeah. they come up to you. You're like, yeah, that person in mm-hmm. 3 minutes is gonna walk up, and she came walking over, And she gave me her name, and I was like, hi, I'm Huey, because I knew what the interaction was. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I thought it was you. She's like, I was at your concert in Colorado. And I was like, I wasn't going to be like Joey and like confuse that situation.
Right.
But yeah, it's so weird not going by your own. When I was a kid, it was like really fun. And I love being called Hugh. Like, it's amazing to me. But there is like a weird, I'm getting old. Like, I ran into one of my, an ex of mine friend in Venice. And she was like, I was at a party and she's like, this is Joey to her other friends, Huey Mack. And I was like, that's so disrespectful. And like, yeah. I don't even think she was trying. I don't really know what but like things like that happen when you have a stage name.
Yeah.
And you're just like, that's fucking weird.
Like, you're kind of putting it on this. You're kind of like identifying it as this kind of, it's Huey Mack and
it's like a weird dynamic.
Yeah. The implications of saying it that way.
And the older
clear.
You get, I'm like, I got at 40 years old, if I'm still making music, am I going to want people to call me Huey Mack? That's been you're lucky in the sense, like, your name sounded like a rap name. My name is Joey Michael. My middle name is Dalton. My name is Joey Dalton Michael. I have the three whitest names that you can have.
Yeah.
But, like, also, I don't mind anymore. But it's like when I was a kid, I was like, Joey Michael won't be a cool rap name. Like,
well, it certainly wouldn't have felt like that vibe in 2010.
No.
You know?
Now I think it would work.
Now it's like all bets are off, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a good name, though.
Huey Mack is an amazing name.
Yeah, it really is. And you've always been Huey Mack.
That's what a lot
and
of
it
the
just
thing
fits, you know?
I am always going to be.
You are Huey Mack. Yeah. Like,
I don't know, because there's some other thing, like I'm working on a movie too. Do I want to call myself Huey Mack with that? Or like, I don't really understand. It's just been a long year of asking myself what I wanted. Which is probably why you're seeing kind of a difference in my personality. Another thing, I quit doing hard drugs.
Yeah.
Which I don't think I've ever publicly talked about doing. Well, I wasn't doing heroin or anything, but you know.
But if I was, I stopped.
Like, I party drugs. Like, see them, people have. I was never a guy to buy them or anything like that, but they were always around. Where it's
stuff
like
that is a lot more prevalent than we like to talk about or you know, acknowledge. But of course, it's everywhere.
And most people do. And right. I thank God for this Apple Watch, dude, because I got an alert one time that was like, you need to go to the hospital because your heart rate is so high.
Really?
And
is that what led you down the path of being like, maybe I want to chill out a little bit?
Well, I went on a bender and I had a gigantic panic attack and I was like, I'm going to die right now. And
were you
I was
up
like,
for like a day or something?
No,
or?
I never did that. Like I would stay up late or whatever. Like, you know, sun's up, but I always slept. But like I was never the guy to buy things either. Like I just always did them when they were around like everybody else. But I've recognized that that's not who I don't want that shit. I hate drugs. I mean, there's some that are fun, but like other ones are just fucking stupid.
Well, it's just, you know, it's so hard now with the fentanyl problem too, man.
That's a big part too.
If you could go to a store and know that a like government certified scientist signed off on these drugs, I could envision a utopian world where all drugs are legal and you can legally get them through like real trusted resources, and that would probably be a better thing overall for everybody. It's never going to happen in this world.
No.
But, you know, in a hypothetical, that could be great. But, you know, somebody having something at a club or a bar and not knowing where that shit came from, it's just so, there's just so much fucking up to chance at that point now.
And I sent, like, every time I read about, like, somebody dying of fentanyl or something like that, I send it to my friends.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I'm, every time, like, there was a group of comedians that they all did blow. Three of them died, and one got lucky and woke up. And like,
I saw that.
I sent it to my friends, like, immediately, who I know do blow and whatnot. I was like, hey, guys.
Yeah. That's crazy, man. They were all in like the apartment together and everybody overdosed.
I don't know how it works, but yeah, it's just like, you're just playing with fire every fucking time. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And for what? You just fucking move your jaw and talk a little loud. Like, it's not fun.
Yeah.
But out here, or like even in New York, or it's just everybody does it. And it's so common that it's like, you can just, I don't think I can't tell you a time I bought drugs, really. And I just can tell you a lot of times I did drugs.
Was it something that was always kind of around to you, even in the college days?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
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 Because it's pretty big on college campuses and shit, too, you know?
Mm-hmm. And it was always fun, harmless.
Right.
I don't see it that way anymore, you know?
It does seem like it's becoming more of a serious problem and more deadly, I think it's honestly, more risky.
It's always been a problem.
For sure.
So much can go wrong that I don't know if it's worth it for that. So,
but people weren't really dying of a cocaine overdose 10 years ago.
That's true. Or, I mean, I do.
But now they are.
I remember during the Molly era, when Molly first like hit, I went to EDC because I used to be friends with tons of DJs, and like I watched a girl die, and they shut down the whole festival the next 2 days. So we're sitting on the bridge, and I see this girl holding another girl in her heart, face is white, overdose on Molly in front of like
Jesus.
The ghost, and they canceled the whole festival. But like I witnessed it, and I'm like, I don't want to tell people not to experiment because I don't want to be a hypocrite, and I don't want to, you know, everybody should have their own experience and if they do it safely. But mm-hmm. like, it's just a lot of that shit just don't seem worth it to me.
Yeah.
So shrooms are cool, though. I like doing the mushroom drugs.
Well, there's just such a range
mm-hmm.
to, like, you know, the term drugs doesn't do justice to the whole range of psychoactive things that we come into contact with across the board. You know?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's scary to see these different stories about overdoses and things being laced with stuff and just the lack of clarity now.
And it's hard because like I've made music that mentions it, or like I like music that I hear from artists that mention it. And, but I have a line in a new song that's not out. It's like, I hate every song I've wrote about drugs. And it's like, 'cause I've lost way too many friends too young. And like, I think the older you get, the more I'm just like, this shit, like, it ain't cool like that, man.
I think it's, because I've felt a lot of the things, you know, I'm just trying to ask you questions, but I resonate.
You never really did party drugs, did you?
No, not really.
Like, you never did Molly or anything?
No. Mm. No. But, you know, obviously, weed and shit like that.
That
but
don't count.
Yeah, legal, that doesn't count. But I have some CBD gummies if you want.
I don't. I know. That's a placebo. Don't give me a placebo gummy bear. Fucking CBD.
If you got like a hurt knee or something like that.
Oh, yeah. I'll rub some
maybe
fucking,
be good for your back.
I'll rub some CBD on my back.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Yeah. I never, you know, for me, I was always very cautious after the whole jet ski thing. Because I just never wanted to get close to death like that again.
Yeah. No,
so I had a fear that drove me on that shit. You know what I'm saying?
I thought like really only bad people did like cocaine or Molly, or not Molly. Growing up, like that's what I thought. And then I saw so many people do it in college. I'm like, hey, I guess it's not that fucking bad.
Well, when you get into your 20s, you realize like this stuff is a lot more common than you ever knew.
It's fucking everywhere.
And most people do experiment.
Mm-hmm.
The difference is now is that even experimentation could be a life or death thing now. And so I do think the conversation needs to change a little bit. When 100,000 people, like more people died of fucking
fentanyl
COVID, than COVID.
Yeah.
Or I think actually it's more people died of drug overdoses, period.
Fentanyl-related overdoses.
Yeah, okay, maybe.
Yeah.
But either way, right, that's a bigger issue that's killing people right now in the 18 to 49 age group than COVID.
Yep.
Yet there's no conversation being had about it for the most part. And don't get me wrong, COVID is a big news story, important thing to talk about, but that's a pandemic that's going on too, that's really fucking bad, that is just getting worse and worse and worse. Right.
But people are getting hip to a lot of it, like Big Pharma. Mm-hmm. Like people are, it's very prevalent now that you know, West Virginia is the worst in opioids. It's the worst opioid state because doctors prescribed anybody opioids because these pharmaceutical companies asked them to.
Yeah.
And they did it.
But you know what though? Who's paying the price for that?
We are.
Yeah. The Big Pharma doesn't care. They paid $100 billion settlements. That's nothing to them.
Also shed light on some. Did you see what Mark Cuban did today?
Yeah, I did see that.
Fucking
actually.
Awesome, dude. Yeah.
So what did he do exactly? He took generic price.
He took generic drugs and is selling them at the rate of what they cost to make plus 15%.
So like, just an operating.
I think there was a leukemia pill that's like $9,500. That people can't buy. $50.
It's so fucked up, the markups on some of these drugs, yeah, dude.
That's what Mark Cuban's selling them for. Fucking awesome.
Like the shit that Martin Shkreli guy went to jail for.
That guy was a douche.
He's a fucking douche for sure. But every fucking drug company is doing the exact same shit that he was doing. He was doing it in this flamboyant, fuck you kind of way. And he's a fucking douche. But like, you don't see drug companies getting into trouble for this shit. We just accept this system, and it's so fucked, man.
I haven't watched that Dope Sick show, but I heard it's really good.
Yeah, I heard that too.
Yeah.
But you know, with the opioid shit, man, they don't have any consequences for that. The pharmaceutical companies are doing better than they've ever done.
Yeah, dude, I have.
And public
so many...
opinion for these pharmaceutical companies is actually getting better because of COVID right now. Like we were hating them for a while because of the opioids, but they've done this great PR. Transition because of COVID.
Pfizer, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what it comes down to? The world is a fucking weird place.
Yeah. Like,
so it's so
that's why people experiment with drugs.
It's true. Yeah, it is. I honestly I don't think I'm going to ask you to cut it. I've never talked publicly about doing drugs before. So.
We can cut it if you want.
I don't know. We'll see how I feel when I hear it.
I'll edit it. I'll send it to you.
Yeah, I've never publicly said that, but also it could be a good thing to say to people.
Yeah.
What
I would never do is like fucking cut it up and put it as a clip and put it out there. Like if someone finds it, if you keep it on and someone finds it an hour in, okay. You know
also,
what I mean?
I just said I've done drugs in my life and then I quit doing drugs. It's not right. Like, it's not... It's old people taboo. People our age would be like, yeah, that makes sense.
Well, I think it's okay to be authentic. You know?
I agree. It's very weird having a voice and being authentic these days, though.
Yeah.
It's very tough because you're like, oh, if I say the wrong thing, a million people are going to hate me.
I think that's probably the thing that I hate the most.
We're
going to
lose
off.
A lot of artists
in
the next however many years.
Like. Okay.
Think about how shitty movies are. I'm the biggest cinema guy, and like, so many movies are afraid to even be like slightly edgy.
Even the most recent season of Curb Your Enthusiasm wasn't as funny because you could tell that they were worried about not being too intense.
They still push some boundaries.
They're pushing boundaries, but barely, dude. Barely. Mm-hmm. They're not pushing the same boundaries they were pushing in four or five seasons ago.
Yeah.
And so, you know,
people got a little more mindful though.
Look, there's nothing wrong with really making points that are important about certain grievances that we have in society and things we need to talk about and having more justice for things. That's a great thing. But you know, there's just nuance where we are becoming too critical and that's stopping people from being willing to take creative risks in comedy, in music, in arts, because they're worried about saying the wrong thing.
The other thing is, though, are we, or is it just like a vocal minority? Like, it's a small amount of group of people.
The people who are getting mad and canceling people are absolutely the minority. Yeah, the majority of people feel like what we're talking about.
Any human that you talk to on a normal basis is like us.
Yes.
All... our friends, when you have any conversation, it's always the same point of view, really, on that shit.
Well, and a lot of people that get behind their keyboards and say that they have a problem with something wouldn't actually say that in real life, too.
Yeah, well, that's facts. But have you ever had somebody come up to you, recognize you, be really nice, and then tweet like they told you your music sucked or something?
Yeah, I don't remember like specific examples, but yeah, something
so
like that.
Fucking funny to me.
Yeah,
like a kid would like come up to me and like suck my dick, and then be like, "I just saw Huey Mack, and I told him my music's better than his."
Yeah, right.
But like somebody would ask me for a photo, and then be like, "This fucking loser asked me to take a photo of him," and I'm like, "The fuck!" Like people are so weird on the internet in compared to real life.
Oh, man.
Also, is that a real Louis Vuitton hat?
No, this is a mega yacht.
I like that hat.
Yeah.
Yeah,
my boy Mega Yacht makes these.
Yeah.
Kind of blends like designer brands with old kind of, you know, media aesthetic vibes. It.
Betty Bop?
Yeah, exactly. Betty Boop.
Betty Boop.
He has like a Powder Puff Girls Chanel hoodie. That's really dope.
I like that.
A lot of cool stuff.
Yeah.
He's a creative dude. I've had him on the podcast.
What were we saying before I cut you off?
Just that cancel culture is inhibiting people's creative license.
True, but I don't disagree with cancel culture necessarily. Like,
I don't like the term cancel culture.
What I'm saying, if people want accountability, that's one thing. If you just want to lead a mob to be like, I don't know my dad. My dad was a piece of shit. He beat my mom, amongst a bunch of other things. Never spoke to him. Over the pandemic, I did. Hmm. Like, part of me was ready to get closure on something, right? And we emailed. And I was like, all right, maybe I'll give this guy a chance. This thing happened 20 years ago, right? However long, longer than that now, I guess. Had he been like, I was fucked up 25 years ago, right? He said to me, those allegations. He said, the longer someone wants to act like the victim, or the longer someone tells themselves they're the victim, the longer they feel they're the victim, and said he never did all the shit or anything like that. My immediate thought, fuck this dude, right? Had my dad had said, I don't know what happened, like I was fucked up on alcohol or whatever it was, I would have gave him a chance, right? And that's what accountability is. And that's what some people deserving of accountability want that. When we lead these mobs, we're never going to get that. That's not genuine accountability. That's somebody making a fake, like, I'm sorry that... I don't know. Well, you know, like the mm-hmm. Shane Gillis who got canceled for some past racist jokes when he got SNL. And it's like you have to put out a blanket statement, right? That's not real accountability. You're never going to get that when it's just like a hate mob, right? So, like, that's my only experience with something like that firsthand. So I understand when people want something for some terrible person did, right? But, like, I would have allowed my dad room to grow. Or not room to grow. Maybe I would have opened that door, right?
Yeah.
But instead of taking accountability for something I know he did, because I don't have memories, but like I have like, I guess I must have shut a lot of it out. But like I have things that feel more like dreams, and I don't know if they happen, right? But then I called my stepdad after his email, and I was like, "What was going on?" He said I testified against my dad in court. And I don't remember doing that at all.
Wow. How old were you?
Kid. Like, I had my name changed to my mom's when I was in first grade. So Michael was not my given last name, but it's my mom's maiden. But anyways, like, I know that happened, right? As many of these people know things are happening or whatever, and they just... If you want accountability, that's how we move forward, right? If we don't, then, like, fuck them. Yeah, cancel those motherfuckers.
Right.
Right? I don't know where I went with that, but
no, I completely understand what you're saying.
After that experience, I just understood an aspect of it more.
I agree with that. Absolutely.
Because I wanted to like forgive.
Well, I think it's human nature to want to give somebody a second chance if they are willing to have accountability and at least acknowledge, right, that they made a mistake. And if they can do that, then a lot of things can be forgiven and second chances can be given. And that's a beautiful part about being a human, is we want to believe in the best in people, right? And it's probably, you know, rooted in a lot of our, like, religious foundations of society. Like, so much of society is built on, you know, some of this, like, kind of faith-based, like, stuff, you know, whether it's a, whether you identify with that or not. These things came from somewhere, right? And there's a lot of forgiveness and stuff like that in all different types of religions. And so humans have been doing that for a long time. But if you are not willing to even acknowledge something that is known to be true, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's no accountability there, then what can all of us do to, you know, there's no second chance in that situation.
Yeah, but also conversations are moving forward that have needed to move forward for a long time, which is a great thing. But yeah. I like it when people are, I just hate mobs of people that, like, people devote their whole lives to ruining other people's lives for something. Like, I get a lot of people do, we all do fucked up shit. I've done fucked up shit. You've done fucked up shit. I think I take accountability in my personal life enough to also, you know, take responsibility for some of those actions. And a lot of people don't. And, like, these conversations are waking people up to certain things.
1,000%.
And which is good, yeah. But, like, there's something about people who are just out to get people that rubs me the wrong way.
I think it's, like, a good intended thing that has just tipped over the edge a little bit. And we have to reel it back in, you know?
I don't know if it'll ever get wheeled back in.
You don't know?
I don't think it will. I mean, look at Dave Chappelle.
Yeah.
There are so many people fighting it now.
Well, the problem is,
especially in the comedy world, like, they really rail against cancel culture.
Right. Right.
Yeah. I don't know, dude. I was talking with you and your girlfriend Lauren out there about fucking, what are we going to look like in 30? It's going to be a completely unrecognizable society.
100%.
Like, kids look up to fucking vloggers now. They get paid to play video games. Like, which, yo, if you vlog or do video games, good fucking for you. That's easy money. Like, come on. I'm jealous, bro.
Oh, man.
But, like, I'm just saying, like, these kids, like, they're, I grew up on, like, Barry Bonds and fucking Mark McGuire and, like,
going in the backyard playing fucking, you know, whatever.
These kids are
making
growing
up some game.
And, like, Jake Paul is their favorite fucking boxer. Like, I watched Tyson fights. I remember when he fucking bit Holyfield's ear. Like, I was watching that with my stepdad. Like, these kids are fucking really growing up on Jake
Paul.
It's
a different world, man.
It's a different world.
Yeah. And he's
like
Jake
Paul. Like,
no, he's like the
crushing
highest paid boxer in the game right now. It's crazy.
It's just such a weird, like, I have a friend whose little brother is in high school, and he's like, it's so weird with him. And it, like, they fucking watch YouTube. Like, they worship YouTubers.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I worshiped fucking Paul Wall, bro.
Right.
I worshiped Chamillionaire.
Yo, he was, I mean, when Riding Dirty came out,
Chamillionaire,
like,
is
was
one of the smartest people in music, by the way. He invested in so many nice startups. And
He's like a venture capital pioneer.
Oh, yeah.
He's killing it. Yeah.
But, like, yeah, it's so funny. But, like, yeah, society's going to look so different. And maybe that's not for the worst thing, but I don't know.
I don't know either, man.
I've had too much whiskey. Ask me about.
Yeah. Shout out my guy, Jeffro. I guess that 43%, you know?
Yep. It's definitely 43%. But, yeah.
It's good, though, man. Cheers again, bro.
Cheers, brother. I'll tell you another thing, and this is just, like, personal. Have you watched the Beastie Boys story on Apple? So they do this live show where they recount their whole lives, and they did a book, too. They recount their whole stories, right?
Was this before MCA died or after?
This is after.
Okay.
Spike Jones directed it. It's amazing. I was never a Beastie Boys guy. I do remember I bought one of their CDs.
I loved the Beastie Boys.
I remember buying To the Five Boroughs or whatever that album was, and I loved that album at the time. But, like, they weren't, like, a seminal thing for me, right? I knew, obviously, everybody knew who they were. But they have this section in that movie and in the book where they kind of speak on this, and it just kind of reflects how I was feeling already. Like, I fucking hate Fuck Me Baby or, like, some of the other songs that I did that are too misogynistic. But I didn't even, like, realize that they were misogynistic at the time because I heard somebody else say something like this, so I'm going to do the same kind of thing, or I'm going to say this, and it's, I'm trying to be edgy like Eminem and just kind of say something off the road. I fucking, when I listen to that now, I'm like, I can't believe I said that. I can't believe, like, I thought, and, like, nothing was ever that wrong, but, like, I can't even believe that, like, that was a thing that I thought was clever, right? And I'm watching this documentary, and it's like they're talking about the success of Girls, their song Girls, mm-hmm. and like how it's it seems harmless, but they took a lot of flack for how misogynistic it was in their shows, and like they would have, like, you know, they were very controversial, right? And they talk about how it affected them and how it changed their views on, like, women and, like, how they listened. Like, they read about how people, or, like, they used to say gay slurs because they grew up saying that stuff, and, like, they just recognized all, like, they heard the critics or whatever, and they heard them, and they changed because of it, because they were like, yeah, you guys are right, and this, and I heard it, and I just, the way they say it, like, I'm probably not giving the whole portion enough credit, like, by the way I'm telling this, but, like, it was just really inspiring, right? Because I come from a place where I'm like, I know some of the stuff that I've rapped about doesn't line up with my views on things, and that's okay, maybe, like, if I just publicly say it, and, like, I don't know if that made sense.
It's definitely okay.
No, but I mean, like, I'll hear that stuff and I'll be like, yeah, this was bad, but, like, can I move forward from that still? Like, can I become somebody that's thoughtful and be like, make songs about super loving and all this stuff? And, like, I think for a long time that was holding me back. Like, I kept trying to be what that was, like, whatever that niche, whatever I thought Huey Mack was at the time, right? Mm-hmm. Over the top party boy. And when I didn't want to be that, right? Yeah, I don't even know what I'm saying anymore. Well, you get what I'm saying.
100%. I think that this is the whole point that connects, like, the greater conversation, which is, it's just about having the space for the dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem with wanting to cancel someone just out the gate, right, is then you get rid of the ability for dialogue.
Yeah.
And that's not a society that any of us want to live in. It's not. We fought. No, against
there are
that.
Some people who want to live in the society, Cameron.
No, you're right, but they don't realize that we fought against that to create, like, the foundation of freedom of speech. You know what I'm saying? And, like, it's just not, that's not the answer. You know, like, stopping the dialogue is not the answer.
No.
Because there are a lot of people out there that want to learn, want to move toward the right thing, like the Beastie Boys were saying.
Yep.
And you have to allow them the space to grow. Otherwise, you don't make progress.
Exactly.
And if you're progressive, you want to make progress. So don't shoot yourself in the foot.
Dog, why is the term progressive a bad thing to people? That makes no fucking sense. Facts. They're like, fuck these progressives.
Do you understand what you're saying there? Let's go backwards.
Yeah, like, it's progress, bro.
Yeah.
But, and I'm not, I'm progressive, like, 100%. But, like, I guess that goes back to us saying, like, we don't go too extreme in on anything.
Well, it's just all semantics, dude. It's like, you know, you can be progressive, but then, like, there's a negative connotation sometimes.
People are going to watch this and be like, this is the Huey Mack is talking like an adult.
Well, dude, that's why I wanted to have you on in person, man, because I know we can have these, you know, we can really get there.
Yeah.
Man, and this, I think this has been a great conversation, dude.
No, it's
great to hear you talk on some of this stuff that you don't typically speak on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I wanted to do with my show, man. It's like, I don't want to just come in here and talk about, like, hey, bro, you know, what was the process in the studio making the album? I fucking know what that process was, yep. Dude. Like, I'm excited for your new music, but I don't need to talk about the fucking mixing board.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to know what's going on with you.
Yeah. Man, life. Life, bro.
Life is crazy, man.
Loving life, man. I feel so good.
Yeah, me too, man. Yeah. I'm with you, bro. I'm with you.
Yep. All right.
Well, shit. That was 2 hours. Let's go get some food. It's your boy, Cam Meekins. We out of here. Huey Mac. You know where to find him.